Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hallelujah. What a beautiful presence of the Lord here this morning. It's just so real. You can feel His presence. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to speak on transition. Surprise, surprise. But from a different perspective than what we've heard in the past. I want to read from Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 9. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I think that was pretty obvious. Now, therefore, go, arise over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the greater river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. I'll be with you. I will not leave you. Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Just as a side note there, do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be successful? We've just read the answer. Meditate in the Word of God. Just as it was for Joshua and the children of Israel, for us, there's a new day dawning. There's a new day on the horizon. But that new day will come with new possibilities. It will come with potential to see the vision of this house fulfilled. There's some things that we need to know, to be aware of in the midst of transition, and that's what I want to share with you today. You can't live in the shadows of yesterday, whether good or bad. You can't live there. Some people have, because of past disappointments, have stopped believing, and they not allowed themselves to dream anymore of what might be for their lives. They're afraid to reach out to the next phase, the next season that God has for them. I guess we can all remember instances in our life from our past where we think, if only that hadn't happened. Been there? If only this was different. I can really identify with this very well, with this type of thinking. I've been disappointed to the point where I couldn't trust anybody and I couldn't trust God. I'm being very real and very vulnerable right now. I had a friend, spirit-filled Christian friend, who was very close to me, that betrayed me. The result of that was I put up a wall around me. I wouldn't let anyone in. You could come this far But that was it. You could not get close to me at all. It was a place where it was hard to believe or to expect anything good for my life. But you know something? I learnt something from that experience, and it's this. I can't allow the shadows of yesterday, the shadows of the past, to block out the sun of tomorrow. I can't allow the shadows of the past to block out the sun of tomorrow. Yes. And neither can you. Yeah. Tomorrow's a new day. Yeah. And you can't take the past into the new day. If you try to do this, it will stop you moving into everything that God has for you. One of my favorite verses in Lamentations 3 and verse 22, and it says this, through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Every morning. It's a new day. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Two things I've found in life are these. I've found a lot, mind you. The first one is, if I allow the disappointments to cloud my life and to pull back from what God has from me, you know what? The enemy has achieved his purpose. The enemy's achieved its purpose. If I allow those disappointments to cloud my life and to pull back from what God has for me, the enemy has achieved his purpose. And it will ultimately destroy my life, and it'll destroy my future and my ministry. The second thing that I've found out, I love God so much. I want to serve him with all my heart for all the days of my life. I want to have everything that God has planned for me. I want to see that vision that he has for my life fulfilled. But the key to this happening is how I view the past. Can I leave the past behind? Can I transition into the new season and the new phase that God has for my life? Isaiah 43:18 says this, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, it's a choice that I have to make. And it's a choice that we all have to make, individually and corporately. There's pain sometimes when a season comes to the end. Some of you know that I've been in Vietnam, a communist country, for 15 years. 31 times I've been there, being chased by the police for my activities. Training pastors and mentoring pastors in the underground churches there. You know, over the years, over those times, those 75 pastors that I was training and mentoring became very close to me. A lot of them couldn't speak English, but it was a spirit-to-spirit thing. They would find out what guest house I was staying in, and they'd come up, knock on my door. And I'd open the door, and they would throw their arms around my neck and hug me and go. 2 minutes later, bang, bang, bang on my door. And this would go on for 1 or 2 hours with these pastors coming up. So you can see, when I knew I was going in, God had spoken to me about the season coming to an end. After 15 years, close relationships, seeing pastors grow, yeah. It was a hard time to say, okay, God, you win. You win. And when I got on that plane for the last time from Vietnam to fly to Singapore, I cried all the way there to Singapore because my heart was still in Vietnam. My heart was still with those people. So a change of season can be painful as well. But Joshua, you know, he'd known the disappointments in his life. How easy it would have been for him to say, no, I don't like change. I just don't want to get involved anymore. I just want to settle back and be comfortable. They tell us that around 601,730 men over the age of 20 crossed the River Jordan, plus all the men under 20, all the women, all their children. They estimate that approximately 2 to 2.5 million crossed over the Jordan. I was going to say that day, but I think it would have taken a bit longer. That's a pretty big congregation when you think about it, 2.5 million. I mean, we think that some of the churches we have today are a few thousand. We think, wow. But think of Joshua, 2.5 million in his congregation. It was huge. But this was a choice that Joshua had to make. He'd come to that point, and he had to make that decision. Will I move on? Will I see the vision fulfilled for the children of Israel, for the promised land? But you see, Joshua had a purpose, and Joshua had great attitude. A lot of this was about attitude, because attitude determines how we handle the circumstances of life. Do we allow the challenges in life and circumstances that come our way to destroy us? Or do we allow them to work grace in our lives? Or do we let them destroy us and the giftings that God has put in our lives? You know, the success of tomorrow will largely be determined by how we handle transition and the end of a season. Joshua 14. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenzanite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." I'm not quite there yet. "And as yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. This is a man, Caleb, who knew all about transition, but he also knew all about betrayal. He had his disappointments along the way in life as well. But for him, it was all about leaving the past behind, all about reaching out for everything that God had for him and had promised him. Firstly, Caleb knew that God had an inheritance for him. And as we sit here today, we know God has an inheritance for us. He spoke to Caleb about this previously, many years previously, but Caleb never let go of the word that God had spoken over his life. You know, God's plan for Numa Sunshine Coast has begun to unfold. And slowly but surely, we have worked to seeing the plan fulfilled thus far. This transition that we're about to make is just one step closer to the reality, to the vision, to the promise that God has over this house. It will happen. Caleb, by this time, was 85 years old. But age was not a factor for him in this transition that he was about to make. Caleb learned that the circumstances should not govern our lives. That even in the times of great trouble, men and women of God can live by faith. Resting, take note, resting in the promises of God. It says we allow the trials of life to build character in us. And boy, if we respond right, they certainly do that. The trials of life. And they bring strength to our lives as we learn to rest in Him and are able to embrace all the changes and transitions along the way. I wonder if you realize almost every day of your life you're transitioning. Have you ever thought about that one? We think about this transition that we're about to make, but every day there's changes. We're transitioning bit by bit every day. But when we have faith flowing in our hearts, it gives us vitality. It gives us an excitement to get up and to get going, just like Caleb. We learn what it is to have patience. Don't you love that word? The next one's even better. An aggressive endurance. Ugh. Aggressive endurance. It's these things that help us to stand firm when changes come. You know, faith keeps us alive. It keeps us young in heart. It keeps us full of energy and enthusiasm for the things of God. Many years ago, back in New Zealand, when we were pastoring, we had a retired pastor and his wife come in from the UK. His name was Pastor Fred Brown. Very English, and he was. But he was a man in his early 80s. He was the most incredible man. Faith had kept him alive. It had kept him young in heart. He was full of energy and full of enthusiasm for the things of God. I can still see him in our church. He was an incredible man. In fact, we brought him on our eldership because of all of what I've just said. But he never looked at problems. He always looked at possibilities. Always. Most enthusiastic man and a great people to be around. Faith keeps us alive. In verse 11, it tells us that Caleb was strong and fit for any task that might come his way. He was fit for business. How about you? He was fit for business. He proclaims that his fitness hasn't changed in 45 years. Now, that is some statement. I know as I'm approaching 79, yeah. But it's God, really. It's all about God. God does not give up on what he's promised us. As we're faithful, as we move on with him, he gives us much, much more than we could ever think and we could ever dream. Ephesians 3:20. I want to tell you a little story. When I was 7 years old, a long time ago, I'd been reading a book. Some of you will know it, Heidi. And it was all about the Swiss Alps and Switzerland, and I fell in love with it. And I came out to my mum and I said to her, "Mum, I'm going to Switzerland one day." Now, you've got to remember, way back there, the only way you got anywhere was by a big ship that took you 3 months to get from New Zealand to England, let alone to Switzerland. My mother very graciously patted me on the shoulder and said, "In your dreams, dear." And that word dreams stuck with me as a seven-year-old. One day, God, I'm going to Switzerland. And I'll never forget the day. At 60 years old, I waited longer than Caleb, take note. He only waited 45 years. I waited 53 years from my dream. And as I stood on Mount Pilatus in Switzerland, and I turned to Kevin and I said, "I don't know whether to laugh or cry. This is my dream I've held on to for 53 years. And then I decided to thank God for his faithfulness. I thought that was the end of the story. I never dreamt that just 2-3 years later, Kevin and I would be going to live in Switzerland. I tell you that story to say, he gives you what he's promised, but he gives you so much more than what he promised. And so I'll never forget, as we arrived in Switzerland to live there for a few months, I was just in awe of God and the way he works things out in our lives when we follow him. You see, Caleb had a dream and a promise. Pastor Kevin and I have a dream and a promise for Numa Sunshine Coast Church here. And just as Caleb would not let anything stop him from possessing his dream, so Kevin and I won't let anything stop Numa Sunshine Coast possessing the dream and the vision that God has given. And that is why we're stepping aside and handing the church over to Pastor Glenn and Lynn. Caleb knew and never gave up on God's word that had been spoken to him. And you and I, as a congregation of Numa, Sunshine Coast, must never give up on the words that have been spoken over this church and the promises of God. It will take faith. It will take patience. And again, aggressive endurance. But as we hold on to the promises of God, it will happen. There are times when we have to make a demand on God based on his word to us as a church. Joshua 14 verse 12, Caleb said, "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke to me in that day." He knew that now was the time to make demands on God. He'd waited 45 years, but he knew now was the time. And there will come a time when we as a church will declare, "God, give us the Sunshine Coast. Now is the time." It's not based on nebulous demands. It's based on the words that have been spoken over this church and in this church. Demands based on the word of God. I believe it's time to start possessing the coast and taking back everything that the enemy has claimed as his own. This place, Sunshine Coast, belongs to God. And it's time that we stood up and starting to claim what God has promised us. Caleb had the assurance of victory in verse 12. He said, I shall be able to drive out the enemy. Caleb was a man of integrity. He didn't just say things, but he did things. And he believed what God had said and promised him. He had proved that over many, many years in his life. He was so confident in the power of God to help him overcome the enemy that he spoke contempt about the opposition. He had a total conviction of the truth and a firm belief and trust in the divine promises of God. It's not that Caleb was ignoring the opposition. He knew they were there, just as we know the opposition's there. But he knew that God was with him. He knew he was not relying on his own health. He wasn't relying on his own fitness or anything like that. But his confession was positive. It was free from doubt. It was free from worry. And he was looking forward to success. How about you? What are you confessing about this transition? Caleb's confession was full of hope. It was full of expectancy that what God had spoken many years before would come to pass. In Matthew 12, 36 in the Passion Bible, it says this, you can be sure of this, when the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Your words will be used for evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But this is my favorite verse. Job 22, 28. You will declare a thing, and it will be established for you. You will declare a thing, and it will be established for you. You know, our words are so creative. This verse says that we read in the beginning, we will be judged by every negative or unproductive word. The Bible says you get what you say. Very plain. You get what you say. So I ask you again, what are you confessing about this time of transition? In verse 12, we see that Caleb received the promise. He got his mountain, but it didn't come easy. We can sit here and think, yes, we're going to take the coast. And we are. But it won't come easy. Caleb had to fight for it. It wasn't just handed to him on a nice silver platter. And sometimes we think, you know, well, we'll just pray, we'll stay in our four walls and God will do it. Caleb had to get out there and he had to fight with everything he had and everything that he knew. Caleb had faith to receive the promises. He had faith to receive the promises for his life. For us, the coast is there. We believe that God has given us the coast, the Sunshine Coast, but we'll have to fight for it. We will have to fight for it. So this transition that is taking place right now is all part of God's plan for Numa Sunshine Coast. And it's already happening. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's happening right now. We're moving right along with the vision that God gave us for Numa Sunshine Coast 20 months ago. This is just part of it. 20 months ago. Does that mean that we just forget the past, the last 20 months? Absolutely not. I still remember that first interest meeting we had down in Kawana Waters. You guys were there. 20 months ago, 74 people were at that first interest meeting. I remember the times that God has really shown up, the healings we've had, the people that we've seen saved. I remember all those things. It reminds me of a song we used to sing when I was, again, a little girl. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. It's good to go back to milestones in the life and in the life of Numa Church. The Bible often talks about going back to the landmarks. The children of Israel and consequent generations were constantly going back to the landmarks. But there's a key in all of this when you go back. The first one is that you remember. What do you remember? You remember God's faithfulness. You remember his provision. You remember his protection. You remember his leading and guiding you and looking after you in difficult situations. Most of all, you remember his promises that he's made for the future. The second thing is this. You let the memories build your faith and confidence in God as you recall everything that God has done. The third thing is this, and this is most important. You don't camp around the memories. You don't camp around them, but you move on like Caleb did, and you make more memories to look back on. The path that we as a church are walking right now is so exciting, and the possibilities are immense. They're limitless in God. And I want to encourage you to keep reaching out and possessing your dreams. There's a verse in Scripture that has been a favorite of mine and one that I've held very close for many years. It's Romans 4, verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything that he promised. And so I say to you, Numa Sunshine Coast, as I come to a close today, never waver in believing God's promise. Let your faith grow stronger and allow this to bring glory to God. Be absolutely convinced that God is able to do everything that he has promised us at Numa Sunshine Coast.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.